We now bring you the news on Tuesday, April the 12th from Tokyo. I'm Keith McFarlane.
And I'm Hiroko Kitadai.
In our top stories, Japan's finance minister says his counterparts on the G20 nations are expected to soon discuss a data leak related to tax evasion.
Two destroyers belonging to Japan's Maritime Self-Defense Force have made a port call at Cam Ranh Bay in Vietnam.
And Seoul's recent disclosure of high-profile defections from North Korea has drawn criticism from some who describe the revelation as a pre-election ploy. Now, the news in detail. Japanese Finance Minister Taro Aso says his counterparts from the Group of 20 Nations are expected to discuss a data leak implicating rich and powerful people in tax evasion at an upcoming gathering. G20 finance ministers and central bank governors are scheduled to hold a meeting in Washington beginning on Thursday. Aso told reporters on Tuesday that participants would discuss efforts to prevent tax evasion. He said Japan intends to be actively involved in the talks, as it has played a leading role in international discussions on the issue. The minister also mentioned an initiative requiring tax authorities in a range of countries to share details on the financial accounts of non-residents. He said the plan is to get developing nations to come on board. Authorities in some countries have already launched investigations into the contents of the so-called Panama Papers, leaked from a law firm in the nation. They're trying to determine whether businesses and high-ranking officials have been hiding their wealth in offshore tax havens.
Panamanian prosecutors have begun investigating how a massive amount of data on offshore financial dealings was leaked from a law firm in Panama. Public prosecutors on Monday visited the law firm Mossack Fonseca in response to its complaint that the tax haven data had been stolen by hackers. The prosecutors are thought to have questioned officials of the firm and examined records. An agent for the firm told NHK that data security experts from the public prosecutor's office are investigating how the computer system was hacked. The law firm specializes in setting up offshore companies. The leaked documents, known as the Panama Papers, have shed light on the offshore financial dealings of the rich and powerful, including global leaders and people close to them. The Panamanian authorities are setting up an independent commission to probe the country's financial sector. They say they are ready to cooperate with foreign investigators if asked to do so.
Two destroyers belonging to Japan's Maritime Self-Defense Force have made a port call at Cam Ranh Bay in Vietnam. The Ariake and the Setogiri on Tuesday became the first Japanese destroyers to visit the strategically located bay in southern Vietnam. Vietnamese Navy officers and local officials welcomed the vessels. MSDF Captain Morishita expressed hope of deeper security relations between the two countries. The port call was part of a training exercise for personnel on the Japanese vessels. The U.S. military used Cam Ranh Bay as a base during the Vietnam War. It later became a Russian naval base until 2002. The bay is now the Vietnamese Navy's most important base and is located near islands in the South China Sea. These islands are the source of a territorial dispute between Vietnam and China. The port visit comes as Japan and Vietnam appear to be strengthening bilateral cooperation in the face of China's increased maritime activity in the South China Sea.
A multinational naval drill hosted by the Indonesian Navy and involving more than 30 countries has begun in the Indian Ocean. About 10,000 personnel from Japan, China, the United States, and Southeast Asian countries are participating in the exercises off Sumatra Island. The drill, dubbed Komodo, is focused on search and rescue operations. On Tuesday, the participants held fleet reviews with the attendance of Indonesian President Joko Widodo. The Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force destroyer Ise, which features a wide deck similar to that of an aircraft carrier, took part. Japan and Indonesia have been deepening security cooperation while keeping an eye on China's increasing military activity in the South China Sea. The two countries held the first meeting of their foreign and defense ministers, a so-called 2+2 meeting, last December. Observers say Indonesia does not have a territorial dispute with China in the South China Sea. They say Indonesia wants to stress its neutrality and increase its influence as a regional power by hosting the multinational drill.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and French Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault have confirmed their commitment to cooperation to ensure a successful outcome for a G7 summit to take place in Japan next month. Ayrault played a courtesy call on Abe at the Prime Minister's official residence in Tokyo on Tuesday, one day after attending a G7 foreign ministers meeting in Hiroshima. Abe thanked Ayrault for helping to make the meeting a success and expressed hope that its results will be connected to the G7 summit. Ayrault said he's very pleased that he and Japanese Foreign Minister Fumio Kishida had sincere discussions and that the G7 foreign ministers meeting had excellent results. He said they were able to send an important message to the international community. Abe and Ayrault also agreed that Japan and France will further develop cooperative relations in the areas of national security and defense, technological innovation, and nuclear power. You are listening to NHK World, Radio Japan, broadcasting from Tokyo.
Japanese Defense Minister Gen Nakatani has expressed concern that North Korea could be about to step up its provocative actions. North Korea 3 days ago announced a successful engine test for a new intercontinental ballistic missile. Nakatani was speaking to reporters on Tuesday. He said that if the North were to succeed in increasing the range of its missiles and miniaturizing nuclear weapons for warheads, it might think it had secured a strategic deterrent against the United States. Nakatani suggested that if Pyongyang were to become overconfident or mistaken about its deterrent capability, its military provocations might increase and eventually become more serious. Nakatani noted that frequent changes in key personnel had recently taken place in North Korea. He said this is believed to be aimed at strengthening the leadership of Kim Jong-un, first chairman of the National Defense Commission.
The South Korean government's recent disclosure of high-profile defections from North Korea has drawn criticism from the opposition and the media. Some describe it as a campaign ploy ahead of a general election scheduled for Wednesday. South Korea's Unification Ministry announced last Friday that 13 employees of a restaurant operated by the North in a third country had defected to the South the previous day. The ministry said the defectors claimed that the sanctions imposed by the UN Security Council and the South Korean government had dealt a blow to their restaurant. On Monday, the ministry confirmed media reports that a diplomat stationed in Africa and a senior North Korean military official had separately sought asylum in the South last year. This type of confirmation is rare, and there was also a considerable gap between the defections and the announcement. The opposition and the media view the disclosure as an attempt by the government to show voters the effectiveness of its policy towards North Korea ahead of the election. The Unification Ministry has rejected the criticism, but some newspaper reports say the president's office has instructed the ministry to disclose defections from the North as the ruling Seinuri Party faces an uphill battle in the election.
In today's edition of Insight, we hear the comments of Professor Kan Kimura of Japan's Kobe University on South Korea's general election, in which voters will choose the 300 members of the national legislature.
The most important issue in the election is who will survive as a viable candidate for next year's presidential poll. As the opposition camp is divided into two groups, the ruling Seinuri Party is projected to maintain its majority in parliament. At issue is who will lead each of the major parties after the general election, and whether the new leaders will support President Park Geun-hye. There has been little policy debate between candidates, and the election appears to be more like a popularity vote. But one of the few campaign issues is how voters view a widening wealth gap under the rule of President Park. Some voters think the growing disparity is inevitable as a result of a global economic slowdown, while others think the government is to blame. Another issue is the leadership of President Park. Her government is taking a tough stance on public demonstrations and opposition movements. The ruling camp justifies this approach by citing the threat posed by North Korea. The opposition argues that the policy has gone too far and could open the door for autocratic rule. Which contention will be accepted by the electorate is a focus of attention. As to relations between Japan and South Korea, how much Seinuri leader Kim Mu-sung can cement party unity after the election will have a significant influence. There are some rebel lawmakers within the party. If they garner strong support and expand their clout, the party itself could split up. If that is the case, President Park could lose public support and turn into a lame duck. This would mean that a bilateral agreement struck with Japan at the end of last year on the issue of those referred to as comfort women may come to nothing, or that Seoul ends up taking a tougher stance towards Japan. Developments within the Seniority Party following the election will be of considerable interest to observers.
In today's edition of Insight, we heard from Professor Kan Kimura of Kobe University. The results of an NHK survey show that 48% of Japanese respondents disapprove of the country's new security laws. The telephone survey was carried out over 3 days through Sunday. Respondents were asked about the new security legislation, which came into effect in late March. The legislation allows Japan to use force in the exercise of its right to collective self-defense. 48% of respondents said they do not approve of the security laws. 42% said they approve. The poll also asked which issue will be most important to respondents in deciding on candidates in an upper house election to be held in Japan this summer. Both social security and economic measures were given priority by 22% of respondents. A prospective rise in the consumption tax rate was the main concern for 18%. Both possible amendments to the Constitution and national security were most important to 12% of those responding, and the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Deal came in at 4%. Respondents were also asked about restarting offline nuclear reactors in the country. 18% said they are in favor of putting reactors back into operation, while 43% said they are not. 33% were undecided.
The Tokyo Metropolitan Government plans to introduce new boat services with an eye towards the 2020 Olympics and Paralympics in the city. Officials are hoping to conduct a trial this summer. Regular boat services already operate on some of Tokyo's rivers. Paid services on 4 new routes will be tested over a 5-month period with the aim of introducing the attractions of the city's waterfront. The routes will connect Tokyo's Haneda Airport with central Tokyo and Ariake, where many of the Olympic venues will be situated. They will also link popular tourist destinations such as the Ryogoku Sumo Arena and the historic district of Asakusa. The pilot program will have boats running 3 to 5 times a day on each route. Tokyo government officials want to see if they will be used not only by tourists but by commuters. They say year-round services will start on an experimental basis from April of next year.
The new head of Japan's Cultural Affairs Agency has stressed the need to strengthen ties with cultural organizations in Tokyo in advance of the relocation of the government body outside of Japan's capital. Ryohei Miyata, who assumed the post of Commissioner for Cultural Affairs this month, spoke to reporters on Tuesday. Miyata described the recently approved plan to relocate the agency to the ancient capital of Kyoto as ambitious and exciting. He pointed out, however, that the move could draw negative comments when relocation costs and other factors are taken into consideration. Miyata said Kyoto does have a concentration of cultural assets, but he went on to pose the question of whether the city has a concentration of information. He suggested that constructing infrastructure to attract information to Kyoto would be one of his agency's greatest tasks. And that was the news from NHK World Radio Japan in Tokyo. I'm Hiroko Kitadai.
And I'm Keith McFarlane.
Please stay tuned for Radio Japan Focus.